Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to episode 805 here at Gamertag Radio. This is Danny, and also joining us this week, we're going to start with the spoiler king, Pete. What's going on, Pete?
Man, Paris starting all that smoke on Twitter last night, knowing I ain't even say nothing.
How's everything,
but good
man?
Morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone.
All right, and also joining us is the famous guy, Paris. What's going on, Paris?
What am I famous for?
I don't know. You're just always vocal on Twitter, man.
That doesn't mean I'm famous. It just means I'm vocal.
you got that verified blue check mark. That's why.
Oh my God, that's true. Oh my God.
We don't have that blue check.
I'm going to say it on the podcast. You guys need to stop with that blue check mark stuff. It's annoying. And I'm going to say, Pete, you do spoil things because I didn't need to know what you said in the chat. How about that? I didn't need to know it. You could have just kept your mouth shut. So that is
all I said was an episode number was amazing. That's it.
Yeah, I don't need to know that because now when I get to the episode, it needs to live up to this false hype that you put on it now.
Dude, you know what? I'm a guy. I'm grab receipts from previous chats and I'm throwing back out just so you can see. Come with that energy, but make sure you receive that same energy. All right.
I never say anything because I don't spoil things like you do.
All right. We shall see. The receipt's going to come out. We're going to be all right.
Screenshots.
Oh, yes. Receipts.
Yeah. All right. So head over to Gamertag Radio. You can listen to our past episodes. Also, you can find us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, also Radio Public, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so this episode, we're going to have only fan mail questions. We have emails, Discord questions, voicemails. Going to be a great episode, man. So keep it up. Send us more questions, and we're going to read it or play on a future episode of Gamertag Radio. All right, so it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right, so we have the first question here. This is from Christian. Shout out to him. He says, "Hello, Gamertag. My name is Chris from Orlando. If you already covered this already, my bad. But the article I just read was posted an hour ago. This is about 007 getting Unreal Engine remake and so on. So he said, what are your thoughts on potentially being able to play GoldenEye in the way that's just closer to memory instead of actually of what it actually is graphic-wise? Also, if it's successful, your interest on other projects of the same nature. Thanks for your time." What are your thoughts about this, guys? If somebody gets like an old game from back in the days and have it with better graphics now in 2018, you think you will play it or you'd rather play the old way or what? What do you guys think about that? Okay, anyone? Anyone's going to ask a question?
I don't know. I think games made back then had a certain way about them, right? And because of that, I think if they were like some super hyper realistic from a graphics perspective or something like that, I think it would have changed my perspective on the game, right? Like you take a game, let's go as simple as, I don't know, Grand Theft Auto 2 or 3, right? Let's say 2, top down, you know, everything looks, you know, like, you know, grainy, doesn't look hyper realistic like GTA 5, etc. I think if you have a game that looks or plays like that, it wouldn't have set the trend for other things going forward, or it would have changed your perspective on how you play the game. might have been a good thing, might have been a bad thing, might have changed or broken boundaries. But I think, and maybe GTA 2 was a bad example. But if you have a game that you play and it has and it imparts a certain perspective or a certain feeling upon you, and then you come back 15, 20 years later and they hyper realize everything, kind of, I guess, maybe, like, and I don't know, it's hard to describe, and that's just my personal take on it. It's for me, it's somewhat difficult to try to say, okay, I would have felt a different way about it. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. To me, sometimes it's hard for, I don't know, it's like, I'm happy that they're bringing back like an old game and it looks better and everything, but it's not the same as how it used to be from back then. Like, I don't know. I prefer to maybe have it in a way that it's easier to connect it to your TV. It looks a little bit better, you know, 1080p and all that, whatever, if it's possible. But keep the graphics the same, man. I think they should do it like that instead of making it all nice and beautiful. And I don't know. I prefer, in my opinion, I prefer to play the old graphics. That's it. What about you, Paris? You prefer the old one or the new one with better graphics?
It's honestly a case by case basis, because some games can absolutely benefit from the modern upgrade to it, and it could actually enhance your gaming experience. And others, let's just take this as an example. Super Mario Brothers, the original one from 1985. Why am I upgrading that? What benefit are you going to get from that? There's no need to change anything. I'll take even another one. So just like you say, GoldenEye as an example. If we were to update GoldenEye to modern FPS standards, to be honest, that takes away the appeal of what made that game so special, I don't know, 20 years ago, whenever it came out. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
it really depends. But then I'll take this. Red Dead Redemption. There's the Xbox One X enhanced version of that you can play right now. That game benefits from that because it was on the fringe of where graphics are today when it came out. So you've actually just given it that boost to push it to where we are now. You know what I'm saying? So in that sense, I can see pluses and minuses to doing it. I'll take one final example. Mega Man 11, which just came out, it has that 8-bit feel to it, but they've put modern touches on it at the same time. So I still have that nostalgia of when I played the original Mega Man or Mega Man 2 back in the 80s, but I can also feel like, oh, this is a modern game that I'm playing right now. Something, I don't know, similar to like Shovel Knight or something like that. You know what I mean? So it goes both ways. It really does. I think just speaking on that, Nintendo, now that, you know, they have their online service and they're bringing back some of their old games, we're going to start seeing little examples of that. I mean, and correct me if I'm wrong, like Mario Brothers 3, they've not touched at all on the online service. I've not personally played it, so I'm going by what I've read. But then like Zelda, they've added little touches to it, you know, that doesn't break the original feel of the game, but it makes it a more appealing for a modern audience. So there you go. Mm-hmm.
And also they added online, you know, but it still looks the same and feels the same. So I'm done with that too. So yeah, I agree with that, man. All right, but thanks for the email, man. All right, so here is another one. This is from Zach. Hey, my name is Zach. I live in Portland, Oregon. So with Red Dead coming out soon and the hype is very real, where does it put the other games coming out soon, like Fallout 76 and The Division coming out next year and Anthem sometime? Are people going to have to juggle games, or do you think that people are going to have to choose? Hopefully you guys get back and talk about it. Love the show. Thanks, Zach.
We got to choose. I mean, we've talked about this a lot the past few weeks. Just go down the murderer's row of games that are already out since September and are continue to come out. Let's just say it culminates with The Division 2 in the middle of March. There are a ton of amazing games. So it really comes down to your preference. But here's one thing that is not humanly possible unless you're filthy rich and you're a hermit and you just sit in your room all day and don't do anything. You can't play all these games. So no matter what, you're going to have to choose what you want to play. I know I'm personally struggling with that right now. And I sure everyone listening to this or watching this on Twitch is probably suffering the same thing. Because let's say every game that's come out so far, I just stopped playing. I'm done. Mm-hmm. Starting tomorrow, Thronebreaker comes out. Okay. Red Dead comes out at the end of the week. Fallout 76 comes out after that. Battlefield 5's coming out. Smash Brothers is coming out. Then flip into, and I'm just doing this off the top of my head, then flip into the early next year, Kingdom Hearts 3. Then you get to the Murderer's Row of February, where you got Metro coming out. You got Crackdown 3 coming out. Days Gone said, we're out. We pushed out to April, so they're not coming out. And then you got, what am I missing? What's the other? Oh, Anthem on February 22nd is coming out. Then the Division 2 is coming out. And then, like I said, Days Gone is coming out in April. So choose. There you go. Just on that. And that's not even including anything that's already come out so far.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to get tougher and tougher, man. So, yeah. Pete, what about you, man?
I think Paris said it perfectly. It's damn near impossible, right? Like you said, you either have to be unemployed or full-time streamer. I think full-time streamer is probably the only profession that puts you perfectly suited to try and even attempt to play all of these AAA games. And like Paris said, he didn't even include Starlink, which just came out last week. He didn't include Spider-Man, which for me is probably my favorite game of 2018. How do you do it? You have Black Ops that just came out. You know, they're going to be releasing DLCs or they're going to be releasing additional content. It's damn near impossible. There's a couple of games you need. I think Darksiders 3 or something like that. How do you budget time when you are a full-time employee, father, husband, etc.? How do you budget your time to be able to spend quality time and balance that work-life schedule and put in the 100 to 200 hours that's going to be required to play some of these games, specifically like Fallout 76 or Red Dead Redemption 2, who have already been, they've already stated that there's upwards of 100 hours of gameplay there. Mm-hmm. And we'll go one step further. Red Dead Redemption, we haven't even touched the online component, you know,
and that's coming out later too.
Exactly. You know? So there's just so many options at this point. Mm-hmm. You might be better off going to random.org, plugging all of the games in there, hitting go, and just saying whatever comes up with is what you're going to play for the next 2-3 months and hope that that's enough time for you to finish those.
And here's the tough part too, man. Because I know a lot of the gamers will wait until like Black Friday to see if there's any specials. But it's not even guaranteed that a lot of those games that came out during this time, they're going to have like a special. It's not even guaranteed. Sometimes it will be like the same price, or you might have like some specials only for like a day or for like the Black Friday weekend. But it's risky because you never know. Cause I know like games like NBA 2K, there's always, it always goes down in price, but let's say Nintendo, they would never put the prices down of their first party games. Cause they know it's going to sell like crazy. Do you think Rockstar is going to do the same thing with Red Dead during Black Friday? I don't think so, man. I really don't think so. Maybe next year, but this year, nah, I don't see that at all. At all.
I don't think there has been first party. I don't think there's been first party games or like just launched games that mm-hmm. have an instant discount like that.
I think I seen that with like a Forza game. Maybe a Gears of War or Halo, but okay, that's so, about it.
I can understand, and maybe I used the party reference wrong. I can understand maybe Xbox saying, okay, I want to do that for something like mm-hmm. this, but not somebody like Ubisoft with a just launched title, or like Red Dead Redemption saying, okay, Red Dead Redemption 2 is on sale, we're going to drop it $20. I wouldn't see them do that. I would see more of a platform / first party such as Xbox or Sony doing that in order to entice buyers to purchase maybe bundles or things of that nature. But I wouldn't see third parties doing it, especially for a title that just dropped.
Well, I've seen that with past Assassin's Creed games. Now, what are the chances of a game like Starlink to go down a price during Black Friday only for the weekend just for people to buy the game?
Because that game has already been out for a month plus, Yes, I can see that.
Has it been a... Oh, okay. Well, you
said like during now. Black Friday. So yes, by the time Black Friday it comes out, it has been 5 weeks since it's launched. So in that respect, I could see them doing it in order to bolster sales from a bundle perspective or to, like I said, encourage buyers to purchase more starships, more guns, and maybe a starter pack for your niece or nephew or something like that. But as far as seeing, you know, Red Dead Redemption 2 go on sale, Battlefield 5 go on sale for less, I don't think you're going to see that.
You know, I personally think that we might see like a special. If you want to buy the first Division game during Black Friday, just so people could buy that game and get hyped for the next game that's coming out next year. I can also see that. I can see that happening too. All right. So here's another question. This kind of relates to the question we just answered right now. Hi, fellas. My name is Trevor. I'm from New York. I wanted to say that I recently purchased a Nintendo Switch along with Mega Man 11. Great choice, by the way. With this purchase, I now have the Xbox One X, PlayStation 4, and Switch. My question to you guys is, how do you guys find balance or find time to play games you love while maintaining family and work schedule? Thanks a million. Well, Trevor, thanks, man. You guys want to answer this one or what?
Why don't you answer it? Why do you always defer to us?
I just read a question. No, I mean, to me, I've been pretty good with that. Like, I have time for myself. I have time for, you know, spend time with my fiance, my family. And also, yeah, I have time to also play games, man. You know, I think we shouldn't be playing games 24/7, man. There's so much things you could do in life, man. Just go out and enjoy it. But I always been good with that, man. You know, I have a schedule on when I have to like edit the show, promote the show. I have a schedule if I need to stream or play a game. But I also have a schedule like, hey, I just want to watch TV. Just want to go out, hang out with my friends and family. And that's what I've been doing lately, man. I've never been, I never had problems with that, man, at all, man. I think that if you're just doing one thing all the time and that's it, it's unhealthy. To me, it's personally, it's not healthy, man. You know, so that's my opinion. So, you guys?
Well, for me, it is always the classic struggle because not only do I commute, so I get this is why we do this podcast super early because I'm always used to being up super early. Have to work the 9 to 5 and then I have to come home. I have three kids that they all have their own specific needs. I have a wife, you know, with a list of things for me to usually do. So it typically is I get it in when I can. And usually I'm sacrificing hours of sleep to do so. So that's why I'm actually very picky when I do play a game because I'm not going to waste time. And when this is why I've still not played Spider-Man to this point, because when I know there's a game that I want to just invest in fully, I don't want to just pick it up and pick it down and play other things. That's what I'm going to play. So when the time is right, which it will be soon here, I'm just going to play Spider-Man. I'm going to play to completion with the time that allows me to play it. Then I'm going to move on to the next thing, rinse and repeat, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, like I said, it's a struggle. It is. It'll always be a struggle. But the one thing I've learned, like, oh, throw the gym in and all that stuff too. When you are passionate about something, you will find the time, period. So obviously I'm passionate about my family. So family comes first, always will. I'm passionate about going to gym. So I find time to do that. And then gaming's probably next up on that list. I find time to do that as well. So it all just goes hand in hand. You figure it out. Let's just put it that way.
It's probably the best way to put it. I think scheduling your life, putting some form of rigor towards it makes it a little bit easier to handle. I'm blessed to be able to work from home, so I have a little bit more free time, quote unquote, and hopefully my boss isn't watching this. and some liberties with my personal time that allows me to go ahead and do things like that, right? So like if I'm in between conference calls or whatever and I can sneak 10-15 minutes into a game or whatever, I've done it, right? I'm the,
like Rocksmith?
I've done it. Right? I've done it. Hey, if I'm on my lunch break, you can't tell me what I could do during my lunch break. I just happen to be, I'm lucky enough, I'm blessed to be at home during those times. So yeah, I'll pick up my guitar and I'll play Rocksmith and I'll play four or five songs, put it away, gotten the itch out of my system, and I can come back to work and I can focus and do my job. But outside of that, yes, like when it comes time for dinner, hey, everything goes off. I'm in the kitchen helping the wife, and then we're all sitting at the dinner table eating dinner, right? There's no, you know, there might be an occasional phone that comes out, or if I'm in the middle of something for work, yeah. But for us, at least, when we're out at the dinner table, it's dinner time. It's everybody's there, and we all sit there and we all, you know, spend quality time with each other, talking about each other's day, how, you know, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And then other than that, because we're in 2018, and especially in this household, everybody here has or plays video games, right? My wife, obviously, you know this. My kids, you know, my son's already awake and he's already playing League of Legends, or he's following the championships now. We all have our preferences. So yeah, there's times where all of us, we might be in separate rooms doing our things. But, you know, it's very important that you spend those together moments together. Like me and the wife, we spent almost all day yesterday on the couch watching Daredevil. And that was our quality bonding time for the day yesterday, actually probably for the week. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's about it. I mean, it's just making time. It's making sure you set specific set of time out for your family and your loved ones, but as well as yourself.
Agreed, man. All right, so I know we have more emails and more voicemails. Should we just play the first voicemail? We haven't played one yet.
We can definitely go to voicemail.
All right, let's go. Voicemail it is.
All right, here we go.
Hello, this is Brad from Buffalo, a.k.a. BGamer90. I wanted to call in about the discussion Danny and Paris had about next-gen consoles. If the PS5 does not have backwards compatibility, I think both of you guys are right, but in certain ways. If the PS5 doesn't have backwards compatibility, then I think the Xbox, the next-gen Xbox console would do much better in North America, but the PS5 would still do pretty decent worldwide. Paris, with the PS3 generation, the PS3 had really bad PR, and it was obviously more expensive than the 360, but the PS3 still did better in territories outside of North America, which eventually caused the PS3 to be pretty much a match with overall Xbox 360 sales when the generation ended back in 2013. Now, also, I had a question for you guys, too, in terms of next-gen Xbox. How do you guys feel about Microsoft allowing online multiplayer to be free on the system? The reason why I'm saying this is that it will be a really huge and exciting PR move. I don't think power is going to really cause people to move to next gen, really, due to the 4K consoles that we have now. So I think services will really push next gen, and I think removing online play for the next Xbox would definitely be big. It will cause more people to move to Xbox. And also, when you look at Game Pass, it will definitely increase Game Pass subscribers. And Game Pass for a whole year is $120, while as Xbox Live for 1 year is $60. So the people you might lose from Xbox Live may come over to Game Pass, and all you need is half the same number of users that Xbox Live currently has to make the same amount of money. Since again, Game Pass is $120 a year, while Xbox Live is $60. So again, I feel pretty mixed about it, 50-50. I could see Microsoft doing it, and at the same time, I'm going to see Microsoft just saying, hey, why should we lose out on all this money that we could be making by doing it? I guess it just depends on how much they care about console sales for next generation and how much they care about PR. All right, that's all I have to say. Congratulations on passing 800 episodes, and I'll talk to you guys later. All right.
Thank you very much for your voicemail. Appreciate it. Where do we start off?
That's a great voicemail too. But thanks, by the way, for sending the voicemail.
Yeah, thank you. Where do we want to start off? Do we want to break it off into segments? Like, do we want to go with the backwards compatible and then go to the services portion of it?
Let's answer the first one about
backwards compatibility.
Yeah, because he said that Xbox might, like, the sales are going to be better here because of it, but outside of the States, PlayStation is going to sell more than Xbox. And in that part, I do actually agree with that, man, because, look, when I went to Dominican Republic, man, and also this is the same thing with other Latin America countries, PlayStation is, I think, except maybe Mexico, but everywhere else is PlayStation. But going over there, everybody was talking about just PlayStation. Nobody was even mentioning Xbox. They didn't even mention about online and other games. It was strictly about just the brand PlayStation. And that's the thing I was trying to say the other day, is that no matter what happens with PlayStation, they're gonna have their hardcore following, especially like in other countries outside of the U.S. that they're gonna buy just because of the name of the system, PlayStation, the brand. They don't care about Xbox or Nintendo. There's fans that are into those consoles too, but PlayStation, the brand is just too powerful, man, in my opinion, man. That I don't see them flopping at all, man. At all.
All right. I don't know. I think backwards compatibility is going to cause a big stir once we start moving out of this generation, simply because, especially if Microsoft continues to be able to push Games Pass as a rock solid service for its consumers. I still disagree with the Nintendo bully move of, you know, we're going to force you to keep buying new versions of it for your devices as we go and not provide you some form of backwards compatibility. I think Nintendo, that might be them stuck in a previous era. And I think they're missing out in a sense, simply because consumers, I think at this point, I think from a consumer's perspective, they might be getting frustrated, just because why should Nintendo get the pass to forcing their consumers to continue to rebuy their titles as opposed to giving them the ability to do backwards compatibility?
You know why, Pete? Because numbers doesn't lie. It sells like crazy. So if it's selling, Nintendo's going to keep on doing it. We could complain, we could say all we want, but there's always going to be people either outside of the store waiting in line to buy a Nintendo Classic or Super Nintendo Classic or any other future devices coming from Nintendo. It sells. No matter what, it sells. It doesn't make it right, but if we really want to make a change, then don't buy it and be vocal, right? But no matter what, it sells. It's the same thing with Call of Duty. People months ago were complaining, oh, it doesn't have a single player, it's not going to sell. No. Dude, this was one of the best-selling Call of Duties in a very long time. So we could complain all we want, but it still sells. You know what I'm saying? So companies know what they're doing, because if they release something and it's not selling, that's when Nintendo will be like, oh, well, this is not working. We got to add it in Nintendo Switch and maybe the online service so people could sign up and buy our system. But it sells, man. You know? Paris, you want to say anything about all those things?
I mean, we really talked about this a week ago, 2 weeks ago. So I don't want to just repeat everything that I said before, other than that I get what he's saying about, yeah, PlayStation is going to be very strong in Europe and Asia, and it always has been. So I don't see that changing regardless of what backwards compatibility looks like. But just what my point was a couple weeks ago, services and backwards compatibility will factor in the next generation. And I stand by my point that Nintendo can get away with doing what they're doing for everything that you just said. PlayStation going into the next gen cannot. They cannot say, hey, want to play all those great PS3 and PlayStation 4 games? Get PlayStation Now and give us more money for our crapping streaming service. They're not going to do that. People are going to look at what Microsoft is doing and go, well, why aren't you doing that? They're giving us all this for free for all their old games, but you're not. Like, literally all my 360, hell, even some original Xbox games, all the way up to Xbox One, will be playable on their next console. They've already made that known. So PlayStation has to do that. And I know the cell processor is a mofo, but at a minimum, all these great PS4 games, if I buy a PS5, I better be able to play them on the PS4 for free. or a PS5 for free and not have to pay for PlayStation Now or something like that. That's all I'm saying. That's all I've ever said. And like going to his point with the services, yep. Like I said, we're witnessing it happen right now. Microsoft is gearing up all their services to be ready day and date whenever these new consoles come out so that they can have this all-in-one bundle package, whatever they want to do. But Game Pass will be a factor going into the next generation because it's going to be the ease of use thing. It's going to be the Netflix thing for gaming where all our games, the new Halo's coming out, you already own it because you got Game Pass. And I know people have friggin' come at me on Twitter, I'm not getting it because I don't like this and I like that. That's fine. Because guess what? It's a choice. No one's forcing you to do it. Some people will want to do it. Some people won't want to do it. But the fact remains, it will be an option. And it will be something that people will want to take advantage of. Why not?
And now, the part that he says, Xbox Live for free. What are the chances of that?
Well, in this sense, again, if we go to the whole bundle package thing, if they, and we've talked about this before, you bundle Game Pass, whatever their cloud streaming thing is, and Xbox Live into one thing, and you sell it as an all-in-one package, all-you-can-eat package, and you basically give a discount on if you buy them separately. That's going to appeal to some people. But I think for the people that aren't interested in Game Pass and aren't interested in the cloud service, you're still going to have, well, if you want to play online the traditional way, you can still go buy Xbox Live Gold for $60. I don't think that is going to go away, but I think it could go away in the sense of if you commit to our subscription services, we'll give it to you for free. That's what I think is going to happen.
Danny Secrets, man. I don't know. I mentioned something like that, but you guys shut me down. But it's all right. I never get props. It's
what are you talking about? When? You know, I said something random out like that. I said it. You shot me down. When? Please elaborate on that.
I said Xbox Live for free, and everybody was shutting me down. But it's all right. It's okay. But I got no love.
Okay. Now I know what you're saying. And that, yeah, you're not getting that. I literally just said they're not going to just here you go, everyone for free. Either you subscribe to something else and they give it to you for free, or you're going to still pay for it. So right. I don't give it to you at
a discount or something like that. Yeah. They're not just going to hand out of their biggest money making service for free just to appease your harebrained schemes. You're like the smoking man in X-Files.
Exactly. And you know what? Speaking of that, I love how he tried to throw out on Twitter the other day. Well, Paris had a crazy theory about they're going to give away The Last of Us for free.
You did.
At E3.
I have it on audio.
And I do. And you agreed.
That's a crazy conspiracy.
And you agreed with me.
I did? I don't remember that. I didn't remember that.
Go pull the audio. Go pull the audio.
I don't remember. I said yes.
Yes.
What was it?
The only person that says I was crazy, because she always says I'm crazy, is Mandy.
Yeah, she did say that. Yeah. But she said that to you, to everything that you say.
Everything. Everything I say is crazy. So
now, what was why you mentioned that? What was the theory that The Last of Us, people that were there at the crowd, was going to get The Last of Us for free?
Because
it never happened.
Because something with, I can't remember exactly.
I think it was the date. Was it the date? And it was E3.
Yeah.
Trying to hype it up.
Yeah. Something crazy like that. Yeah.
Yeah. We're all crazy. Pete, you're crazy too, Pete. Everybody's crazy.
I know. We all crazy. We're all loco.
We're all crazy. Yeah.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
This episode of Gamertag Radio is sponsored by Nighthawk Pro Gaming from Netgear, rated 2018's top performing gaming router by PC Gamer and IGN. There's no question that online gaming demands a stable, low latency connection, and running multiple connected devices will cause network congestion that gateways simply can't handle. Switching your existing gateway or router to an XR500 gaming router will improve your online connectivity, and it's the most overlooked way to improve your gaming experience and has the biggest impact. You're already competing online, and you shouldn't have to compete with other online devices for bandwidth. The XR500 router creates an express lane just for your gaming to give you incredible speed and no lag. With this high-performance gaming router, you have complete control of your gaming experience. The XR500 is purpose-built to lower your ping, stabilize your connection, and help you game at incredible speeds. Keep your game alive with features like geo-filtering, traffic prioritization, and device management. Nighthawk Pro Gaming transforms your gaming experience and gives you the power to win. Visit netgear.com/NPG and join the no-lag crew.
All right, Gamertag Radio listeners, before we continue with our fan mail questions, once again, I'm going to give out a free game for those that are listening to the podcast. This is ReCore for the Xbox One, and here's the code. Make sure to redeem it right now. If you're listening to the podcast, you know, use the Xbox app, or if not, you go to Xbox.com and redeem it right there too. So here goes, a free copy of ReCore, 4H74D. CTRQYXMKGR33XXK226HZ. And there you have it, folks. Free game. This is ReCore for the Xbox One. So we're going to have more codes in the future. Can't say what it is, but I have a lot more to give out. So continue listening to Gamer Tag Radio, and let's continue with the show.
Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
We have a second voicemail or email.
Yep.
You guys want to read?
Yeah, we'll do more voicemails. We ran through a bunch of emails, so we'll just do some voicemails from our listeners. Here we go.
Yeah.
Hello, guys at Gamertag Radio. Tom from the United Kingdom here, and I have a question in related to game streaming. The first one is, have any of you tried out the GeForce Now beta? I've just tried it and I'm blown away. I think the latency on it is amazing. And my second question is, if this is going to be the future, how are these companies able to afford the infrastructure? I mean, when it gets going and they come out of betas and all that, I just don't understand how they're going to keep up with, you know, supplying these virtual machines, and I can't see them making a profit on it. Okay, cheers, bye.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate that. Short and sweet, love it. How do they do it? Similar to the way Xbox does it now. Like, you'll see like periodic, and you don't see them, quote unquote, because they're in the background, but they sell areas for in a form of advertising, right? Other than that, they make their money on other services or other back-end components. So, you know, like the live stuff, obviously that helps offset a lot of stuff. They've been doing that for so many years now. It's, you know, it just makes a lot of money for them. So there's not as much investment into that as there are for other things. And that's probably the best way to do it, in my opinion. I mean, you see YouTube. They offer all of those videos for free on the platform. They can offer premium services to help offset some of those things, giving the consumer an opportunity to, okay, well, you'll get, for example, YouTube. You can get YouTube Red. You bypass all the ads. Content creators still get a cut of it, even though, mm-hmm. you know, subscribers or payer, you know, premium YouTube player of premium YouTube consumers aren't seeing the ads as a regular, you know, as opposed to how regular consumers would watch it. So that's how they would do that, right? They would just offset little minor costs like that by, you know, I wouldn't say forcing you or shoving you, but redirecting you towards other premium services. So that's how they're going to, and that's how they're doing it with Game Pass. That's how they're doing it with Xbox Live on the Microsoft side.
Yeah. What are the chances of us seeing like that from Sony and Nintendo?
I don't know if we would see that from Nintendo. We've seen that they march to their own drum. They're not in a platform or a service war with Sony or Microsoft. They don't need to be. They look at the Switch. It's a total departure from what Microsoft and Sony did with their platforms, right? They spent better part of 2.5 years fighting over the teraflop turf war, right? Switch came out and said, we don't care about that. Here's the Switch. And we saw how that turned out, right?
Well, so, the thing is, the reason why I'm bringing that up, Pete, is if you live in Japan, they already have a couple games that you could play on the Switch, but as a streaming game. So, for example, Assassin's Creed Odyssey is available in Japan for the Switch. I know the last Resident Evil that came out, you could also play that on the Switch, but you have to pay for the service for the game streaming. So the reason why I bring that up is, what are the chances of us seeing that here in the States from Nintendo, but for other games? That's why I brought it up.
I think Japan also has the infrastructure to be able to support something like that. The average consumer has 1 to 2 gig internet speed at home in those, okay, in those target areas. Whereas, mm-hmm, here in the United States, it's anywhere from, 10 to 20 megabits all the way up to maybe 100 to 200 megabits, per second. So, mm-hmm, without making this too technical, I think the infrastructure to support it in Japan is a lot better suited for that as opposed to here in the States, which is why you don't see it here.
Okay. Pat, you want to say anything about that or move on?
Yeah, we can move on.
Okay. Pete, next voicemail.
Hey guys, this is Joshua calling you from Georgia, and I just finished playing Halo Wars 2. I just now finished playing it because when it first came out, it didn't get a whole lot of attention, and probably for good reason. Like most people, I'm assuming, based off the attention it got. Real-time strategy games aren't really my thing, but the story was very good. You can look up the cutscenes online, and just the story was very well done, which made me think, like, this game would have been a lot more fun to play if it weren't this game, if that makes sense. If they took the storytelling elements and they took the lore that they set up and all the conflicts they set up and all that beautiful stuff, but they coupled it with maybe the classic first-person shooter or some other type of more exciting gameplay options. So that had me thinking, like, I've read some of the books, and there's a lot of good material to work with there, and it surprises me that 343 has gone the direction that they have with the story. And I'm okay with the direction they've gone. It's just been surprising considering how much material they already have to work with. So I was wondering, are there any other games that you guys feel did some element of it so well that you felt like it was a missed opportunity when they could have maybe tweaked a couple things here and there or changed other dynamics about the game and made it, the game would have been completely different in terms of quality and the attention that it received? I just want to hear you guys' opinion on it. Thanks.
All right. Thank you for your voicemail. Appreciate it. Always, always appreciate it when our community sends in questions for us. I mean, I'm right there with him with the Halo universe. There's so much history. I'm looking at 4 books right now. One of them was already potentially done. But like Contact Harvest, Ghost of Onyx, The Cull Protocol. Books like that have so much information and lore from the Halo universe that it absolutely could have been used, whether it have been by Bungie or 343 now. So they definitely have opportunity. As far as a more developmental or a technical thing, I would say the Battlefront series from EA. They had the entire Star Wars universe at their hands, at their fingertips to use. And because of a few things, things of that nature, they missed out huge to the point of, basically almost lost the franchise in general. I mean, we'll see what Respawn does now with their title and stuff like that. But I think those two in general, for me personally, are the biggest ones that stand out.
I think I will go with Timefall 2, man. That has a, the story in that was so good. But I feel like a lot of people didn't really either play it or didn't even bother to buy the game, man. But it had a great story. And also the gameplay was like different, I think, from like the first person shooter style. I really enjoyed it, man. So I'll go with that, man, with Timefall 2, I think, man. And yeah, P, I agree with Battlefront. That's up there too, man. You, Paris?
Am I misunderstanding the question? Because I thought he was saying, because you're saying it wasn't if people bought the game or not. It was basically a title or an IP going a certain direction and missing out on a great opportunity, not if people bought it. Mm-hmm. So you said Titanfall 2.
Yeah, I mean, didn't it flop though? That game,
but that's irrelevant. That doesn't matter if it flopped or not. It was a lost opportunity and direction. Yeah, what was it missing and in going in the direction?
I gotta think, man.
Yeah, this was a real tough one.
You come back and I have it. I have the one for me. Okay. It's Mass Effect, easily. After two, I feel like they completely dropped the ball on the direction of where I thought they were going to go with this franchise. And look, three, it is what it is. It changed the ending, whatever. But then obviously we saw what happened with Andromeda. And forget the graphical issues, it flopped and all that. That's not what I'm talking about. The fact that they took the direction of going the Andromeda route, I was disappointed in. I was hoping to see either a complete prequel that led up to where we got with the, you know, with the original trilogy, or they continued in that universe post what happened, you know, instead of them, we're going to go find a new home and go to the Andromeda system, blah, blah, blah. I didn't want that for Mass Effect, me personally. So I thought that was a lost opportunity for them. But you know, hey, it is what it is. Hopefully Mass Effect comes back and they, you know, they reorganize this whole thing and they get that IP back to where it is. Cause I mean, that to me is such a lost opportunity with what happened with that franchise. And I do think it factored in, with Andromeda flopping beyond all the bugs and the issues and everything else that it had.
You know, how about this game, Death Space 3, the last one?
That's another one.
That's another one, right? Because the first two games was very dark, great story. I really got into it. But I feel like the third one, they went to the... Yeah, that too. But they went into the route of like action, Gears of War-ish, right? And it completely messed up the game. Mm-hmm. And it had a great story like the previous games.
You know what's scary? We're listing all EA games. What does that say?
I know. I was waiting for Danny to finish before I said that. I was like,
I have another one because you just said it and it reminded me because we actually talked about this before. Gears of War. Go back to the original Gears of War and what that was a kind of a survival horror game. That was the vibe they were going for with the original Gears of War. And they completely shifted that Gears of War, you know, starting with Gears of War 2 to, you know, where we are today. It's completely different than the original vision of what they were trying to sell us on back in 2006. And I was all in for it. I was all for what they were going for with Gears of War originally. And like you said, it kind of changed more into, you know, it became more character focused and it got a little, you know, the story was never the greatest thing anyways, but it got away from that survival horror thing and became more of an action adventure type of third person shooter game, which fine. I'm fine with the franchise, but I think that was a lost opportunity for them to really separate themselves and go off into a genre that not a lot of people explore.
Yeah, it kind of, as it went on, it kind of felt like a four person buddy cop.
Yep,
like that's four person buddy cop movie with similar. I guess you could say, I don't know if there was a direct correlation, but like you see games like Uncharted and stuff like that, but it was just like a four person Uncharted set in space with aliens.
Yeah.
At that point,
you know, another game too that it was a huge flop and very disappointing, Resident Evil 6. That one, I don't know what happened. They turned into that like an action-packed game. It wasn't even horror at all. It wasn't scary, nothing. That was a pretty bad game too, man.
Hi, Danny, Paris, and Pete. A few days ago, my father passed away. In June 2017, he was diagnosed with cancer, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. He fought hard to beat it, but ultimately died in much pain as his body broke down slowly but surely. I sat beside him always from beginning to the end. He was 65 years young. I'm telling you this because, believe it or not, your podcast has helped me through this time. After a hard day with Dad, I would often smile at one of Danny's crazy predictions or laugh at Paris's grumpy 44-year-old man from Florida reactions to Danny's craziness, and Pete seemingly either in the middle or laughing in the background. I guess I just want to say thank you. Danny, you posted your condolences on my Twitter feed. That meant a lot to me. You don't follow me on Twitter, so it shows you really do care about your community. I love you guys and support you forever and always. One day I will meet you and thank you in person. That is one of my goals in life. That's how much you all mean to me. Thank you, Mark from Adelaide, South Australia.
Yeah, man. Sorry for your loss, Mark. Mark, I know in the past he sent us like voicemails, like, oh, excited, listen to our podcast from Australia and stuff. So yeah, I actually, Mark, I do follow on Twitter. You know, I saw your tweet that you were talking about your father and everything. And then that's when I'm like, oh, let me reach out and hit him up. Because I think it's important, man. You know, sometimes in situations like that, we will feel like lonely, not getting support from anyone. And that's why I decided to hit you up, man, to say, you know, hi. And then I'm there with you, man. You know, the past few years, I lost a lot of my family members, especially like my grandparents. Back to back in 1 year, I lost two of my grandmothers in 1 year, man. And when I left to Dominican Republic, because I haven't been there in a very long time, I was there with my family and all. And I was getting messages from our community, from the GTR listeners from everywhere, hitting me up, friends from the industry hitting me up, you know, just reaching out to see if I was okay. And it felt good, man, seeing that, getting that support from everybody, you know. And also P in Paris, dude, they were there 24/7, man, hitting me up to see if everything is okay, telling me, hey, Dan, don't worry about the podcast. Do what you got to do, man. You know, we got this. And I love getting that support. So when I read your tweet, I wanted to reach out and also see how you were doing, man. And I still, to this day, you know, I still hit him up to see how he's doing and everything, man. But thanks a lot for the email, man.
100% agree. And it's all about community and reaching out and just being kind and nice to your fellow man and female. All right. So yeah. To your fellow man and woman. So that's basically it. You know, our condolences, you know, to you and your family for the loss of your father. Yeah. Cancer sucks. For your loss. You know, it's a mother bleeper. You know, I lost my mom. I lost my grandfather to cancer. So I definitely know how you feel. And if there's anything we can do to help out, you know, just let us know.
Agreed. I mean, my mother has been, I don't know if I've really even talked about this on the podcast, but my mother's been battling cancer all this year as well. So it's been an interesting year, and, you know, knock on wood, she's had her last chemo. So she's actually going to be out here in a month. So looking forward to that. And, condolences to you and your family. Totally get it. Obviously any of our ramblings on this podcast that can help you get through your day, the more we can do to help, the better. So yeah, I mean, it's not much else other to say other than that. And just, cancer is a mofo, man. It really is.
Yeah. And you know what? I know in the past we've gotten emails of new listeners that starting to download the podcast and they don't have no friends online. They probably don't use Twitter or Facebook. And they always say, like, they will ask, like, how can I start getting my friends on my friend list so I could play online, because I don't have any. And in person, I think, in my opinion, I think the best way to start is joining a Discord on our Discord channel. Because there's a lot of people there, man, from everywhere, from all the way from Australia, from Europe, here in the States, Latin America. We always talk, man, about everything, sports, movies, gaming. We do like game nights together. So we could be there for each other, man. So you won't feel lonely. So I know we have a link here that you guys want to like to join. It's discord.gg/GTR. Make sure to join, and there's a lot of community members there, man, that listen to the show too, man. But we always talk about everything there, man. So it's really cool, man. So you won't feel alone, man. All right. Anything else, guys?
No, I think that's about it.
I think we've covered that.
All right. By the way, Paris, I read your tweet. What was it? Was it a day or so or 2 days ago? So Luke Cage got canceled, right, on Netflix. And you said, I think I'm going to say a story about Luke Cage and Halo. I was like, okay, I don't know how he's going to do it, but you want to mention it before we wrap it up?
Do you love how Danny will take something I said on Twitter? Don't ask me before the show, hey, are you going to do this? I'll bring it up. Nope, just on the spot, just bring it up. You know what?
You mentioned it.
You mentioned it. So what? What if I don't? What if I don't want to tell it now? What if I did? You just put me on the spot. Now I got to tell it. This is why you're an a-hole. I just want to put that out there for the record.
No, I'm not.
So, and I've said the story before on the podcast. So go back. This is Halo when Halo 5 was coming out. So whatever year that was, just playing. I guess it was what 2015 or whatever. I went to. They were premiering that Halo. Was it Nightfall? Was that what it was called? The movie.
Yeah, I think it was Nightfall. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was that, and it was the Halo 5 beta. They were showing off. And it was this event in LA. So I went, it was Josh Holmes was his name, but he was the studio head at the time. I had an interview with him, had it all set up. So I'm sitting there waiting in the back to interview him. And the cast of Nightfall was there. So Michael Coulter, Luke Cage, all those people from the cast. They're being interviewed like on stage. So I'm just literally sitting right off stage watching them being interviewed. And Kiki Wolfkill is there from 343. She's kind of, I don't know if she was like PR hand, I don't know what she was, but she was kind of right there off to the side too. And something happened during the interview and some water spilled. And Luke Cage turned into the biggest diva I have ever seen. I mean, like, he's like, oh my God, all this water. And he was just freaking out and was just making a scene out of the whole thing. And I'm just looking like, wow, unbelievable. Because this is before he was cast as Luke Cage anything. He was just the Halo guy. And I was like, wow, he's really intense about this water being spilled. Why is he tripping on this? And to this day, it cracks me up when I think about it. I looked at Kiki Wolfkill. She looked at me and she rolled her eyes so hard. We went back to Halo 2. I was just like, good Lord. It was just the most hilarious thing ever. So no matter what, when I see this guy, I always think of that every time. I'm like, I remember you as a freaking diva about that water. It's just, I can't get it out of my head. And I can't get it the fact that Kiki Wolfkill rolled her eyes. And it's just hilarious. So that's the story.
Even when you watch the series, you still think about that too?
Oh, yeah. And then when you did that stupid dab in season 2, I was like, yes, yeah, what you get with that freaking
split. This show's going to get canceled.
The video short.
Yeah.
Yeah. This show's going to get canceled.
I was going to bring this up in the after show, but since we're talking, we'll wrap it up and say here, it sucks that Luke Cage got canceled along with Iron Fist, but I also get why. And this is my personal opinion, so I'm not saying it is what it is. It's just what I think. Iron Fist was horrible. So I didn't even waste my time watching season 2. I had no interest in it. It just wasn't a character in this Marvel Netflix universe that I just cared about. So I never even watched season 2. Luke Cage, I watched season 1, I watched season 2. And in my opinion, between the two seasons, only the first half of season 1 was good because it focused on Cottonmouth, who I thought was a fantastic villain. And once that went away, I won't spoil everything that happens, but once they stopped focusing on Cottonmouth, it really was kind of a subpar Luke, in my opinion, Luke Cage. I could never connect with the Diamondback villain. I felt he was very step and fetch it to me, so I just could not get into that as a black man. And when I got into season 2, the whole Bushmaster with the horrible Irish Jamaican accents, I couldn't get past that either. So I liked where it ended. I liked where it was going to potentially go with a season 3, and I would have liked to seen that explored. But the fact that it's going away, I'm actually okay with it. It's not hurting my feelings that they canceled Luke Cage.
You think Jessica Jones is going to follow suit?
I could imagine. We'll see with season 3. I've not finished season 2 of Jessica Jones. I got episode 4 and it was just way too slow for me and boring. I just did not finish it up. I can see me going back and revisiting it before season 3 comes out, just so I'm up to date on everything that's going on. Right. But if season 3 isn't strong for Jessica Jones, I got a feeling that probably goes away too. And Netflix just stands behind Daredevil and the Punisher. Because I think, you know, Daredevil is easily the flagship, not only of the Marvel stuff they do on Netflix, but Netflix period. It's some of the best stuff they do on Netflix. So I easily can see Daredevil staying around. And I really enjoyed season 1 of the Punisher. So I'll be curious to see what season 2 looks like.
Have they even said anything about the Defenders? I mean, I know it was crazy.
No, it's done. It's done.
It's done?
Yeah, it's
okay.
Good. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, wow. That's not looking good. Do you think they're going to take that and take it to Disney streaming
service? Okay, can I say this one too? It's because, good Lord, Twitter just blew up with this. Everyone immediately, well, they're just going to take Iron Fist and Luke Cage to Disney. And somehow I became the representative for Netflix because people added me at this. I was like, "What? I don't control anything. What are you telling me?" But here's the thing. Netflix still controls those characters. So there is a scenario where Luke Cage or Iron Fist could show up in Daredevil and the Punisher, whatever, Jessica Jones, whatever they want to do. That could still happen because they do own those characters, not own, but they still control those characters because of the contracts that were signed. Now, here is the interesting thing. Netflix basically has a first right of refusal if they wanted to do, let's say, Heroes for Hire with Iron Fist and Luke Cage. But that is part of the reason why Luke Cage got canceled. It has to be negotiated with Marvel and Disney on episode length, budget, all that stuff. And it sounds like the reason Luke Cage got canceled, the writing room was set. They were working on season three, but it got canceled because Marvel and Netflix could not agree on episode number and just basically a budget and creative direction of what they were going to do. Because it sounds like Netflix wanted to reduce it to 10 episodes, the same as what Iron Fist season two was. But basically, and again, this is, I'm just going by what I read in Deadline, so I don't know how true all this is, but it sounds like Disney still wanted to charge Netflix for the full 13. So it came down to money is what it really came down to. So there is a scenario where Heroes for Hire could happen. I doubt it for everything that I just said. But then I'll also say this. Marvel does not want me talking about this. Sorry. I'm trying to simplify this. Why are you going to take what are arguably two of Netflix's lower rated IPs and then flagship them on your brand new Disney streaming service? That doesn't make sense. Marvel controls so many other characters. Why would they immediately, and I'm not talking down the road, people acting like this is going to happen next year. Would you immediately greenlight Luke Cage and Iron Fist to be shows on your new streaming service when you own the X-Men now? You could do X-Men shows. I mean, there's all kinds of things you could do in the Marvel universe. You know what I'm saying?
Why take the lowest performing ones and put them as your premiering episodes or your premiering show?
Yeah.
Exactly. Agreed. If anything, they'll wait until this whole Netflix contract runs out, like when Daredevil and all that stuff is done, when they just have complete control of all those characters again, and then you go reboot it all and do something. Not to mention, let's remember, this Disney streaming service will not have mature content on it. People keep forgetting that as well. If you look at what they do on Netflix with the MCU, it's very mature content. They're not. So you not only would you be bringing it over there, you'd be dumbing it down, and people already have an expectation for what Luke Cage and Iron Fist are. And you're going to you're going to lower the mature content to like basically a PG-13 level to put it on Disney. That could also be. So again, why would you do that? You're not going to do that right now. It doesn't make sense. You would put those characters on ice and you would just reboot the whole thing when you have 100% control of that whole Defenders universe. In my opinion, because I don't know nothing. I'm just telling you what I say. So you can be, you know who you are.
You can be mad at me. Vicious 696.
Exactly. You can be mad. I can't believe why people get so mad at me about my opinion on stuff. It just drives me crazy.
That's your side job, right? Netflix?
Yeah. Oh, I wish.
Netflix showrunner.
Yeah. All right. Head over to Gamertag Radio. Listen to our past episodes. You could also find us in different podcast directories. Make sure to download it, subscribe, and share with your friends, family. Let them know to also subscribe to Gamer Tag Radio. All right, so P is out of town. He's going to TwitchCon later this week. I know you have a panel. When is the panel, P? So people could check it out on Twitch.
Will be Saturday at 3 p.m. local.
Yeah, so that's 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So make sure to tune in to Twitch. I'm going to try my best to record it. Or P is also going to record it from over there. And we'll play it here on the podcast, man. So it's going to be good. It's going to be good. Either. Yeah. All right. Until next time. We're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio. If you'd like to donate and help us out for future events and more coverage and also better audio equipment, head over to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com. Thank you.